Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're looking at an encounter that completely reshapes how we understand our deepest longings and how we interact with the people around us. We're stepping into the longest recorded conversation Jesus has in the New Testament, his interaction with the Samaritan woman at the well. First, let's read it in. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. If you've been following along our sermon series, you know that we just preached through verses 10 through 18. Let me read that section again. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true." It's kind of a disjointed conversation that they're having. But what we can't miss is that there is this profound cultural earthquake happening in this single conversation, and it's kind of the epicenter is right here, what we're looking at tonight. Jesus, breaking massive geographic and ethnic boundaries, deliberately places himself in Samaria. And he doesn't arrive with this posture of a general ready to declare war. He arrives weary, asking for a drink, sharing in our own human vulnerability. And the conversation quickly moves from the physical water in the well to something much deeper. Jesus tells her that the water she's drawing will only leave her thirsty again. This is the reality of the human existence, I think. I mean, we are fundamentally dependent beings. We get thirsty, and so we drink, and then we have to do the same thing the next day and the next day. You see, our dependency isn't just physical. We are relational and spiritual beings. We have an innate need for security or belonging to be truly known. Often, I think we draw straight lines between those needs and the things of this world. Like, we tie our ultimate security to our bank accounts. We tie our ultimate value to the approval of others. We take good things, careers, relationships, success, love, intimacy, and we place a crushing weight on them, demanding that they give us an identity. In other words, we ask these needs that are perfectly legitimate, we ask them to do God's job. And that brings us to, I think, the most poignant part of this passage. And you've talked about this if you're a listener of the Drivecast all week already. But Jesus is bringing up her past. And there's a couple ways to think about this, right? And I think that the way that we typically read this story is that Jesus is pointing out a hidden, scandalous moral failure in her past. And there's a lot of different ways that we might talk about it. And to be fair, when you read this story, I think the details that John puts together in chapter 4 are intentionally ambiguous, right? The story itself actually leaves room for a different interpretation, right? Not that they're right or wrong, they're just a different angle, different way to view this interaction with Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And many faithful teachers have understood it in this exact way. But when we look at the historical realities of the first century, we see another heartbreaking possibility. See, in that culture, women possessed almost zero agency. to simply divorce and move on to a new husband. Being passed from man to man was often the tragic result of death and patriarchal structures, of just being disregarded. And by the time she reaches the man who she's currently with, who won't even seemingly give her the dignity of a marriage covenant, she is utterly spent. She has spent her entire life dropping her quote unquote bucket into the well of relationships, desperately hoping to find safety and provision, and coming up empty every single time. And here's the thing, Jesus doesn't bring this up to shame her. You see, he meets her in the very place of her deepest, most agonizing longings. And he tenderly puts his finger on this unmet need and essentially says, I know you are exhausted. I know you're tired of looking for security in things that keep breaking and people who keep leaving. But I am the well that will never run dry. So many other things that you can chase after may pacify your needs, but I satisfy. Now that we have the text, let's take a moment to talk about what it looks like to pray it up. How do we actually pray through a story like this? Well, I think it begins with absolute honesty about our own exhaustion. Right? In like modern day culture, that is constantly hurrying, constantly demanding that we perform and produce to justify our existence. We're tired. We all carry deep, unmet longings. And if we don't bring those longings somewhere, something happens to them. I think the poet Langston Hughes in his poem Harlem, he throws out this question, what happens to a dream deferred? It begins to fester and rot. Like these longings that we have unmet, they do something, and inevitably we begin projecting these things on the people closest to us. We will subconsciously demand that our spouses provide the kind of intimacy, the perfect intimacy that we're longing for, that our children's success fills the void of validation in our own hearts. We end up taxing the people we love the most for a debt they literally cannot pay. And so today, we pray for the courage to name our temporary wells, to name our unmet longings. It might sound like this. We come to God and say, Lord, I'm tired of asking my job to give me my identity. I'm tired of asking my relationships to make me feel completely whole. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us redirect our fundamental dependency away from broken cisterns and toward the only one designed to actually hold that weight. We ask Jesus to satisfy us with his living water so that we no longer live at the mercy of the world's approval or rejection. Let's take a moment and pray some of these things back to the Lord. Finally, how do we carry this out into the rest of our lives? Let's talk about what it might look like to live this out. When we actually begin to draw our life and security from Jesus, it completely changes our posture toward the rest of the world. It naturally propels us outward. I mean, think about the people you will interact with tomorrow or Monday morning at the office or in your neighborhood or in your home. Most of them, like everybody else, is walking around completely and quietly exhausted, carrying their own heavy buckets, trying to find a well that won't run dry. When they look at your life and see an unhurried, quiet confidence, when they see you aren't frantic for approval or crushed by a fear of missing out, it is magnetic. You become a living signpost of a completely new way of being human in a fractured world. That's why we talked about this on Sunday at LifePoint Worthington. If we are framing this series as a mission series, I think the takeaway is that mission telling other people about Jesus that demands satisfaction. Like, we must be satisfied in Jesus. You cannot authentically invite someone to taste and see that the Lord is good if you are still dying of thirst yourself. That doesn't mean we live perfect lives, but that we live credible lives of seeking Him. We don't share Jesus out of guilt or out of a checklist. We share Jesus because we have finally found the water that actually satisfies our souls, and we simply cannot help but tell other thirsty people where we found it. So your action step today is simple. Identify the straight line that you may have drawn from your value, your worth, to a temporary well, and make the intentional choice to bring that need to Jesus instead. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.